Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, this is the Secret Mum Club. I'm Safina.
And I'm Emma.
And this podcast is a safe space for mums everywhere.
A safe space to share our secrets.
Because we all have secrets, don't we?
We do. And as we know, sharing is caring.
You don't even have to tell us who you are.
You can keep that to yourself. You can be anonymous.
And those secrets can be serious or silly.
All secrets are welcome in the
Secret Mum Club.
Thank you, Chrissy. Just inserting my cup of tea there.
That's
a cup of tea for
me. I have one, Chris. Where's my husband bringing me my cup of tea?
Stefan, bring the tea.
Stefan's in bed because he did nursery drop off on 3 hours sleep this morning.
Did he?
So he's gone back. He's gone back down.
Yeah. How is sleeping for you? Is Sadie sleeping? Oh,
she's doing a bit better. We are going like every 3 hours if we're lucky, 3 to 3.5 hours, 2 hours if I'm unlucky. But what's been really good during the day is we were just talking about the sling wraps, weren't we?
Yeah, swaddle bags.
Sling. Yeah, she's got a swaddle bag at night, and then sling during the day is nice. Keeping her a bit longer. Like if she's in that, she'll do a good over 3 hour stretch between feeds, which is good.
Stunning, that for you.
Stunning. Love that for me. We just need to get her going a little bit longer at night, but we're getting there.
Emma's just loosening her strings. She's trying to just put her down a bit more so that she's not holding
her. She's so used to being held, which is lovely, obviously, but sometimes I need to be hands free for my other child. So
your other child that's at home. Oh, I don't really need to be hands free. Well, I do need to be hands free because I've got a lot of shit that I need to keep doing. You know, just normal life shit. But I just think, you know, there'll be a day when he doesn't want me to hug him.
I know. But sometimes, literally, I do have to get shit done. Cook dinner, do the washing up, eat dinner. Although, how
you
much
feel like they're
do you
in
spill
your
on your baby's head?
The crumbs when you're like, oh, sorry about that. It's the feeling of them in your skin, but they're actually not in your skin. They're
yeah,
out
I guess
now.
That's how they're used to being. Yeah. But they still like being close to you and like feeling the warmth of you.
Yeah. It's a nice feeling. It feels like they're inside you, but not inside, but inside your T-shirt, maybe not. Yes, yeah, it's a lovely feeling. And yeah, you can get so much done. I made the packed lunches today. I sorted out some washing. I got the children dressed. I did Dots's hair. Like, I felt great.
You were making me feel bad about how productive you've been, because I was watching your Instagram stories this morning and you'd done like 6,000 steps by 9 a.m. and
I have
barely
today.
Got out of bed.
I have today. I have done a lot of steps today, but then I've done the school run this morning.
And is that's a walk, is it?
That's a walk. Yeah, we've been walking the school run. Nice. But the babies scoot. So it's great for me because they scoot. I get to walk. Double bubble, isn't it? They're getting worn out and tired. By the time we get home after the end of school, everyone's shattered. It's like that extra little bit that they just need taken from them so that they can get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I think that anytime Joseph wants to walk anywhere, like he's very much in that like independent phase now. Like, I want to walk. Obviously, it takes fucking ages.
10 hours.
To get anywhere. But every time I'm like, brilliant, you're tiring yourself out. You're going to sleep great tonight.
It's honestly a mother's dream.
Yeah,
it's an absolute
yourself out.
Dream.
So back to school. How's that gone for you? Back after the Easter holidays?
It's as me and Emma always talk about this every time we have to return back. Emma is a lover of the return. I'm a hater of the return.
And a hater of her own children.
She's a hater of the
look after my own kids.
I'm a hater of the return to school. I don't like it. It's just something about it just doesn't feel right. But it's got to be done, you know. We have to do it. It's good for their social engagement. I just bloody hate it. It just feels like I've lost a limb. You spend all this time and energy and doing activities, going out, and you get into a great routine of having all the children home. Like, this one was busy. This was a busy holiday. So we were in a great routine. We were doing loads. The weather was on and off. I can't say it was great because it wasn't.
We're in England. Shite, isn't it?
It has been shite. But then you got to go back to school and it's heartbreaking and it gets my heart every time. Colby cried his eyes out. Absolutely cried his eyes out.
Was it worse for them going back this time because they didn't want to leave the baby? Yeah. Do you think? Yeah.
Dots doesn't give a shit. She's like, yeah, later, fuckers. Don't know what your problem is. But Colby really struggles. He does really struggle. And it's not that. This one was harder because of Renly. And he was just like, I don't want it. What if he needs me? And I was like, I think he's going to be okay.
Oh, I can't.
Okay. So no, they're back in the swing of it. We're back on the school walks. We're back into morning routines. Grumpy babies in the morning because they don't want to go to school. So yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's good. I keep telling myself it's good, but inside I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm fine.
I'm absolutely. I'm fine. I'm thriving. I'm thriving. In fact,
who's cutting onions? I'm thriving, honestly. I don't even know what life is. And I keep staring at Renly and I'm like, you're going to go, I can't.
No, don't even. Every milestone, every week, I'm like, oh, she's growing up so fast. Stefan's like, get a grip. She's 3 weeks old.
She's going to need her own mortgage soon.
I know. We'll be doing school applications before you know it.
Oh, we had the school applications. So our schools, the children, obviously we didn't have to do it this year, but our school, the children had to apply.
What, again?
Because they have to do it every year, like if you're changing school. So we get, obviously, our schools are split, aren't they? So all of the children were really excited in the playground today because they all got their school places. And Chris went, we didn't apply for Dottie. What, are we applying to put her in the same school? What, apply for year one? She's in the system now, dude. We don't need to. But then I was like, oh my God, we're going to have to apply for Renly.
Oh, don't. And doesn't that start like really early? Like people keep saying to me like, oh, you'll have to apply by the time they're three. I don't know.
I guess it depends on your area and like how posh the school is.
Yeah, how competitive it is. Gosh, I'm not ready for all
that. Yeah, I was on, and do you know what now? Because I had an August baby and a September baby, I was like, oh, Colby will start school a year early. So he'll start just turning four.
Yeah.
But Dottie will start just turning, she literally turned five on her first day of school. Renly's March, haven't a fucking clue when he's going.
No.
It's throwing me right out that as.
I don't get it. But what I do think is nice about Renly and Sadie is that they're always going to be like middle of the year. So, you know, like we were summer birthdays. We were always the last to be able to do everything. Like when people started.
Yeah, but they're middle of the school year. They're not middle of the actual year. You know, we're July babies. We're bangs back in the middle of the year.
No, I like it now. But in the school, in the like September holidays to July thing, like it was annoying because, yeah, A, like your party would always be in the school holidays. No one was ever around. People were always off. And then, like, when people started being able to do stuff like passing their driving tests or like getting into nightclubs, we were the last left behind.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys, they're going to be smack bang in the middle of all their peers, which is a nice place to be, I think.
Yeah, I had to wait for when all my friends turned 17 and we started driving, I was like, I've only just turned 16.
I know. You feel so young.
Yeah. I left school at 15 as well.
Yeah. Mental.
Yes.
Or like
when I went to uni,
I was only, yeah, I was had literally just turned 18. Whereas like some people were like 19 or even 20 if they'd had a gap year.
Yeah.
So when I went to university, I felt like a baby. Like literally everyone was like, I'm 21 and I've just come back from Peru. And I was like, I'm 17 and I've been in Essex my whole life.
I'm 17 and I've just left school.
Yeah. What is life?
No, and isn't it funny now looking back, like I do talk about that all the time and say that to like Chris. I'm like, oh, do you remember we were like the younger, or we were the youngest ones, but me and Chris. But isn't it funny now? I don't know where Renly's going to be at. Like Colby's going to be waiting like us to catch everybody up. But Dottie's going to be like,
yeah. She's going to be ahead of
fuck
the curve.
The world. Yeah. She's going to be one of the older ones. It's like, I'm 21. I've got my own mortgage. Like, where have you guys been?
Even if she's not 18, like getting into nightclubs, she's not going to give a shit. She'll be bowling up there when she's 15, going, looking the bouncer in the eye and going, I'm 18 and you better let me in. And they will, because they'll be scared
I'll
of
beat
her.
You up.
Yeah.
They will. She is not going to give a shit. She'll just be, if someone tries to question her, she'll be like, and what?
Yeah, does what she does wants.
Does his face look bothered though? That'll be dope. I feel like I've... Do you know what? The older that she gets, the more and more scared I get every day.
Of her?
I'm generally so scared for how sassy that girl is going to be.
Yeah. It's good though. It's a good... It's good... It's a good personality trait in moderation.
It's good. It's really...
Really...
Really good.
Good. Yeah, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be...
I'm scared to have a girl because when I had this baby girl, Sadie.
The only girl that you've had.
The only girl I've got. People were like, oh, watch out for when she's a teenager because teenage girls are crazy. So I'm scared
of her. You know when you're like, you do know I have a foo-foo, right? Yeah. You do know.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've lived it. I've lived life as a woman. Yeah. Funny. It's when people go to me, oh, you're going to have your hands full. I fucking know.
Yeah, I was I've that been girl.
There. Been that bitch, still that bitch, you know? Like, I do know. I tested my parents. I was the one child that tested my parents' parenting, literally. But yeah. But there we go. That's, and people always say to me, oh, do you think Colby, do you think the, well, people now say, oh, she'll be really lucky, like our brothers will look after her.
Oh.
No, they'll be going to her. Colby will be like, Doc, can you sort that one out for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, someone's been picking on me. Can you sort them out? She will as well.
Yeah. Can you sort them out? Oh, I did my sad video as well in the week. Did you see?
Oh,
you
my
did,
God.
I think you commented.
The one of the saying... It made me die. Yeah. This is what a two-year age gap looks like. I was like, not in my fucking house at the moment. It doesn't. Honestly, we have had some issues.
Don't worry, though, because I feel like the problem is it's nice. I put the video up there. Yeah, it's great. In all honesty, 99% of the time, I am very lucky. They have a very wonderful relationship and home is great. But the 1%.
They were a bit older in that video as well, weren't they, than mine? So I'm like, yeah. I'm holding out hope that like in a couple of years.
I did do a 7-year age gap looks like when Dottie was 2 days old and Colby with Dottie, and I thought, I think that one's going to push Emma over the edge. I'm not going to laugh. I'll give it a while. I'll give that one a couple of weeks before.
At the moment, we are like, I just don't know. I keep asking my friends that have got two kids, like, does this get better? Because at the moment, like, Joseph is just not, he's just not happy with us, you know?
And it does, I promise you, on my life, it does get easier. It does get better. And plus as well is... Colby also had, and I always say this, and I know you'll understand, but Colby had my sister's 4 children.
Yeah.
So by the time Colby was born, he was already watching a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
So Colby talked really quickly. He walked really quick. And not that I'm blowing his trumpet, but he did everything so much faster because he had older cousins to grow up with.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And he was used to being around other kids. Whereas like Joseph, I mean, he has got a cousin.
But they're the same age.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and he's never known a smaller baby. So now having a smaller baby come in and like, and I think it's me. That's the problem. I'm the problem. It's me. Hi.
Hi.
It's because she's taking my attention away from him. That's what he really doesn't like.
Mm.
And I think like, I'm trying to make time to do stuff with him every day to let him know that, like, I'm still here and I can still do stuff with you. And, like, now that I've recovered from my C-section, that's getting a little bit easier. But that's the thing that he's got an issue with, I think, which is hard because, like, I have to do stuff with her. Obviously, like, he particularly doesn't like me feeding her. Well, obviously, I have to feed the baby. So...
How has he been with the booby? Because he was booby baby, wasn't he? Has he been okay with the boob?
No, he doesn't like it at all. When I go to feed her... And I think it's because that activity really takes me out of being able to do stuff with him.
Yeah.
Like I'm literally pinned down to the sofa for like sometimes an hour at a time.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't like that. And when I take my top you know, top off to feed her and take my sleeve out, he comes over and says, put it on, and tries to like put my t-shirt down. But actually yesterday, for the first time, when I was sitting with him, he pulled his own top up and said, I'm feeding my baby. So I'm like, okay, I think he's starting to like get the hang
see?
Of it now. I know.
Slow and steady.
Every day he does little things where I'm like, okay, I think he might be coming round.
Woman, yeah.
But he still is. I mean, Christ, we've had some tantrums. Like, the way he's letting me and Stefan know that he's pissed off is no joke. Like, fuck me. Trying to get him in the buggy, get his coat on, get his shoes on.
But I feel like that's just a wonderful way of him just expressing himself. I know it's stressful and it's tiring for you, but he is definitely one that knows his own mind, and I think that's great for him.
Yeah, he is. He's very stubborn. He's very strong-minded, and I think he's just letting us know, like, I'm a little bit...
And good on him, I say. Don't take no shit from nobody.
It's hard when you're in it, because you're like, yeah, I just want to get out the house, like, put your fucking shoes on. But obviously, like, you can't take it out on them. He's a toddler. He doesn't know how to express himself. And poor boy, like, his whole world's been turned upside down the last 3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
we can't blame him. But when you're in the moment, you have to, like, exercise so much patience, which is not my forte.
It's such a rational way of being, though, isn't it? It's like, just put your fucking shoes on.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, God, okay.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to help anybody. People always say to me all the time, do you get angry or lose your temper with the children? I think I did when they were smaller. But I used to get the same reaction out of them. If I shouted and lost my shit, or if I just stayed calm,
yeah,
I get the same reaction out of them. Even now, as they're bigger. So what's the point of me stressing out or losing my shit? Because I'm not going to get a different reaction. So I think that comes in with time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It definitely comes with time, age.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're so right. I'm just like, just breathe. Just get through
it. But it's completely rational for you to be feeling this way and going through this.
Yeah. And also, so your ability to deal with a toddler and their tantrums is less when you're sleep deprived and you've been up with a newborn all night. Like, this was all have been fine before I had a baby, because I had the patience and the capacity to deal with it, and I wasn't shattered.
Yeah. Nope.
But now it's just like every little thing. It's just like every little thing is a battle. But
every little thing's gonna be all right.
We'll get there. But if you've had two small children,
you're smashing it.
I would love to know how they reacted and how the hell you got through it, because send help.
I don't know. I guess it's hard. Everybody's is different, isn't it? I do feel like I was really lucky that they just, I don't know what it was. I can't answer. I can't explain it. I don't know. The dynamics of having my sister's four children around them may have made Colby a little bit different. He was also in full-time nursery, wasn't he, Colby?
Yeah.
So I feel like we already had a lot of detachment. Like, he had his own time in his own space before she arrived. So I don't know. I don't know. But I love to know the diversity between everybody.
Yeah, I would as well. It'd be really interesting. Because I don't know, it might just be different children's temperaments. Like, Stefan's sisters were saying to him the other day, like, oh, our children just literally never tantrumed. They never had a tantrum.
Mine tantrumed.
Bless
you.
I was like, yeah, how, that, what? Who are these angel children?
But then you joke. My sister's never tantrumed.
How?
This is what I mean. When I say to you, she'd just had her fourth, Everly, by the time I fell pregnant with Colby. She gave me such a false sense of illusion that parenting was super, super easy. I said to her that the moment Colby came and he just screamed for hours and hours, like 17 hours of a day, Colby would scream at me.
Oh my God.
And I said to my sister, like, you made this shit look so easy.
This is false advertising.
I even say to her now they're just all so patient, so calm, so quiet, so different to my children. And I think sometimes, again, we put pressure on ourselves to be a certain way and be like, oh, well, that's how easy parenting is. And then, in fact, the children come along and they take all the traits of me. My children are literally me. Why did I think my children would come out and be like my sister and have the mannerisms of my sister, who's patient, quiet, calm, reserved? I'm everything. She's not.
You make it look easy, though. I can't imagine you losing your temper.
I don't really lose my temper.
Chill.
I'm chill, but that doesn't mean that my children don't lose their shit.
No.
Like, they lose their shit. When I was younger, I was a handful for my mum. And they're just a handful. But they are loud. They are crazy. They're boisterous. They're wild. They are just my children.
You just got to soak it up. You know when people are like, enjoy every minute. You're like, okay. Well, maybe not every minute.
I don't know. I do enjoy every minute. Honestly, I soak every second up. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Even the good times, the bad times, I'm just like, well. And do you know what? I saw a really lovely quote today as well. I follow a chap called Tom Trotter. Oh, honestly, he's just the most wholesome, patient, wonderful human. He's that person on social media that you just need to see every day to just know that the world is okay. There's great people out there. He's just a really wholesome, wonderful human being. And he put a video on with his mum and he said, be patient with your parents. This is their first time living as well. Oh. And I was just like, oh my God, because Sally, his mum, she's never done it before. And then I was like, fuck, we've never lived before. Like, this is our first time living as well as our babies living. And it just really hit me this morning. And I was just like, shit, that is so true. Like, I've got to be patient with my mum and dad because, you know, they're only just living for the first time. And it was a really wonderful quote. And I just think if we can just enjoy it as much as we can every day. Yeah. And sometimes it's a bad day, not a bad life. And I understand there's bad people are going through bad stuff. But if I can just make somebody smile for a day, you know, for an hour, 5 minutes, if I can just make someone smile. And yeah, don't know where I'm going with that. But
I need some of those deep quotes in my life. Honestly, it gives you a bit of perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does give you some perspective because I just think we get so lost in everything going on, don't we? That sometimes we just need to take a step back, breathe. And just know that this is all normal. The process of life is all normal for us. Everything we're going through is so normal. And it's going to be okay. It'll all work out. We're all going to be all right.
God love you.
Tune in next week for some more affirmations.
Is it? I love it. Positive affirmations with Safina. New channel.
Emma and I really want to hear from you.
Yes, we do. We want you to join us in the Secret Mum Club. You're all welcome.
You can share your secrets with us, respond to what we've been talking about, or just say hello.
You can find us on TikTok and Instagram. Just search Secret Mum Pod, or you can email us hello@secretmumpod.com.
And we are hitting up the Correspondence Corner.
Okay, this one says, hi, Soph and Emma. I felt compelled to write in after the Magic Pumps episode as it made me cry. I had my baby at 24 weeks. Oh, so she was classed as micro preemie. We spent 117 days in 3 different neonatal units in the Southwest, and it was the most traumatic thing I've ever lived through. Oh. Safina's description of walking into the room made me cry because I haven't heard anyone talk about NICUs before. I felt so lonely in my experience as it's so rare and a crappy club to be in. You talking about it made me feel seen, and I just wanted to say thank you for talking about your experience as hard as it was, because it's talking about the traumatic births that makes other mums that go through them feel less alone. You'll be happy to know my miracle Mia is now a healthy, happy and very cheeky little 2-year-old. Luce.
That is beautiful, isn't it?
That's what we were just saying. I think you helped a lot of people by sharing your experience, as hard as it was. I think a lot of people would have really appreciated hearing that.
God bless you, and I'm so proud of you, and thank you for sharing your story. That's a beautiful story, and I'm glad she's thriving.
I've never heard of micro preemie before. Have you?
No, never heard of a micro preemie. I don't know, because I know that my sister-in-law, her sister had hers very little, but that's very diddy. So God, that takes some courage and some strength. I take my hat off to you, honestly. Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you, Luce.
Thank you.
All right, Stephanie has messaged in. She says, hi, ladies. Just weighing in on the pumped chat. My little girl was also born prematurely at 29 weeks, and I'm sure many other preemie mums will agree it's very hard to express and feed. However, I think after a few weeks, you really establish your supply and you find it much easier. The only problem is when I didn't express for a little while, my boobs would become solid. Also, a hacker to collect the milk on the boob whilst feeding was really useful. All the love, Stephanie. Have you heard of that?
No.
Someone recommended that to me last time. Yeah, because when you feed from one boob and the other boob is really full, they go off at the same time.
So like, you put a pump on it.
So you put, it's like a thing to collect the milk coming out of the boob you're not using, and then none of it goes to waste. Yeah.
Stop it. That's phenomenal. Stephanie's just coming in with the hacks.
Yeah.
The hacker.
Life hacker.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Go on, Stephanie. Well, thank you for sharing that, Stephanie. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Amazing.
And another preemie mummy too.
Another preemie mum. Yeah. So another many. Yeah, well done. Because it's hard enough, honestly, like breastfeeding is hard enough even when your baby is full term. But I think establishing and pumping and expressing and feeding and all that when you have a premature baby must be even harder. So go you.
Go you, rockstar. So you can get in touch with us on anything at all.
Yeah, it can be serious or silly, and you can be totally anonymous.
Because between us, we've probably heard it all before. And remember,
we're all in this together.
And we know that we are out of sync.
And we'll take... Not long until the band is back together.
The bitches are back in the studio. That was in tune for a little bit and then it went out.
To me, that sounded fantastic. I don't think we could get it much better. Nailed it.
Each week, we'll be sharing our secrets and yours in the Secret Mum Club. So here is my secret of the week. I always feel like these secrets are me basically outing myself, aren't they? So with the return to school, you'll never guess what we done.
Go on.
We put damp, wet water bottles away for 2 weeks. Can you tell what they did?
Oh, go on.
They went mouldy. So I had to deal with that first thing on Monday morning. Not only that, did I then make the packed lunches because, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen on my social medias, we are back into the lunch boxes. We're back packing them, revealing them. I'm even back cooking, if you didn't know.
That's
pretty much a secret.
Yeah.
I'm back sharing all my old shit that I used to share many moons ago. So in the midst of making lunch boxes, I asked Colby, where is your lunchbox? It's not in the cupboard where your sister's is. Colby went, oh, it might be in my rucksack. I said, oh, wonderful. Where's your rucksack? In my wardrobe. Has been for the whole school holidays.
For 2 weeks. With food in it.
I just want to know how many people actually did it. I have no shame to admit that I did this.
I bet that's really common.
I think it's really common.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really a secret. I just think I'm not making it a thing. I'm just saying it's a thing that's completely normal.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
Not out of choice, you know, because... And then in the midst of making the lunchboxes, we also, in the holidays, actually bought new Smiggles lunchboxes because the babies wanted brand new lunchboxes. It's like our spring-summer collection, you know?
Oh, so that was going to be my next question. So how did you not realise that Colby's lunchbox was missing, but you had a new one anyway, so you thought...
So we bought the bags so that they... Because I bought the little Tupperware ones that were just going into the rucksack, but Colby said he wanted like a proper one.
Right.
So that when he takes it out, he said, I don't want to carry my lunchbox. I want one with a little handle.
Right.
Of course. So it's obviously first world problems for the children to not have a lunchbox in a bag. He's like, I don't want everyone seeing my lunch. And I said, but you're going to sit down and open your lunchbox and everyone's going to see your lunch. And he was like, yeah, but I would like a lunchbox. I said, you know what? Let's just go and get you a lunchbox. So we went to Smiggles in the holidays, got their lunchboxes. And when I went to make them on Monday morning, the lunchboxes that my sister so kindly personalised for me back before the school holidays didn't fit.
Oh.
Inside the new lunchbox. So I just cut the top off. Now it fits inside there. So I can confirm that if anybody else forgot about the lunchboxes in the boot of the car, the footwell of the car, wardrobes, wherever the lunchbox may be, we were right there with you on Monday morning. But to be fair, there was no mouldy sandwich or anything in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the state of what was left inside? No?
I think we had a leftover Froob tube, a leftover cake wrapper, and I want to say like a packet of crisps, but it wasn't, it could have been.
Could have been worse.
Banana cake, sandwich crust. Can you imagine? Cheese. So no, that was my secret this week. So if anybody else did a me on a Monday morning, frantically trying to just scrape the mould out of the corner of the lunchbox, and then the lunchbox didn't even fit in the bag, and I fucking cut it anyway.
Perfect.
And I just took the lid. So yeah,
that really you've got all this. That sums up mum life, doesn't it?
You've got all really this does. To come.
Yeah, can't wait.
I also bought Renly a lunchbox, and everybody's like, "Can you tell us what you put in his lunchbox?" Just some milk.
Just milk, yeah. Joseph keeps offering Sadie food that he has at the moment. I'm like, she just has milk. She doesn't. He's got a little shopping trolley and he's like, avocado? No, not yet. How about baby have a kiwi? No. Just milk is fine. Bless it.
Is it pretend food or real food?
A bit of both. Yeah, sometimes he tries to offer his actual food. Sometimes what he does like to do is empty all the fake plastic food out into her Moses basket. So sometimes I look at her and she's just drowning in like eggs, drowning in eggs and sweet corn from the trolley.
Do you know, there was one horrifying time that when Colby and Dottie were little, I want to say Dottie was in the Moses basket. I walked out the room for 2 seconds. Colby had had his lunch. He was set up at his table. He was doing bits. Walked up to, must have obviously seen, mum's out of the room. I'll go check on the baby. Walked into him inserting a grape into her mouth. The fear, the absolute fear that ran over me. I was like, no!
A whole grape was up. Because parents will know that grapes are the work of evil for giving to children. You got to slice them up nice and thin.
We were on quarters. I've never given a whole grape because the fear of the whole grape literally makes me want to shit my pants.
Yeah.
I cannot handle that. So it's like it was like a slice of grape, like a, but a still slither. Too big. Still far too big for her. She shouldn't have had food anyway. She was only about 2 months old. There was no food. But you know that moment? And I literally scared the shit out of him. I think he threw the grape across the room and was like, ah! And I was like, oh no, baby can't have food. Now Dots does the same now. She's like, can Renly have some applesauce? Because of YouTube. YouTube, all they feed babies is applesauce. So she's like, oh, we'll be able to feed him some applesauce soon. And I'm like, yeah, not for a very long time.
Maybe though. In about a year.
Not for a very long time. And then she asks me the same thing. She's like, so what can he eat? When can he eat that? Why can he not eat that now? How bad for him? How bad for him he has to drink milk every day? I don't think I'd like to drink milk every day. And you're like,
you did. You did once upon a time.
This is the conversation that I had today on the 20-minute sleep. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. When you're tired, your capacity to deal with this bullshit is so much less.
My head was just like,
no.
I even feel now recording this, I feel like it's all over the place. The whole episode's all over the place. There's going to be no flow to this episode whatsoever. Why? I'm fucking knackered today. And do you know what? There's me. Not that I was... Obviously, I was talking about how well he's doing with his sleeping at the moment because we're getting good sleep.
Yeah.
So at 8 and 10, he has a bottle, but then he's going down between until like 1 o'clock. So that's a good stint of sleep that I can get in.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And then he does 1 till 7 normally.
But he's doing that, today. But you're not sleeping, are you?
No. I'm not sleeping. No. I obviously do that thing where I check all the time when he's asleep and then I do the, is he breathing?
Yeah.
Every time. It doesn't go away. It doesn't get any fucking easier.
No.
And I say to Chris, I can't see the blanket moving. Can you check him? And he's like, fucking, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I still do that with Joseph now and he's 2. Yeah. Never goes away.
I do it with Colby. He's 7. I do it with Chris sometimes.
He's 35.
He's not even my child. Oh, gosh. Anywho, well, that's my secret of the week and also some other shit that I didn't share back in the catch-up. So you're welcome. But next, we're going to be hearing some of yours. On the
Secret Mum Club.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the Secret Mum Club, the safe space for you to share your shit here. Shit or secrets, either one of them will take it. But we've got three from you this week that we're going to be discussing. So Emma, hit us with number one.
All right, this one says, hi ladies, when I was 38 weeks pregnant with my son, my mother-in-law invited herself to come and stay with us for 2 months without asking. What? She literally took over everything, cooking, cleaning, etc. It was her first grandchild, so to say she was excited is an understatement. At 39 weeks, the doctors decided to induce labour and we had the most beautiful baby. Whilst I was resting, my hubby brings his mum around. I was struggling to breastfeed, so I had asked for a lactation nurse to help me. My mother-in-law is in the room when she arrived and decides to stay. It was a little uncomfortable because I didn't want to flash my boobs to my mother-in-law. The nurse shows me a couple of tricks and leaves us alone in the room. My mother-in-law then walks over, lifts my right breast and proceeds to hold it in her hand. She tells me how she breastfed, boob in hand. I honestly was beyond stunned and could not speak. I told my husband, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. I told my husband and we decided to ask her to go back home for a while as we wanted to enjoy the first few weeks together so we wouldn't have another boob grabber situation. Love you both. Lisa from Fayetteville, Georgia, USA. Is that how you say that?
Fayetteville. In Georgia.
Georgia, USA. S-A,
baby. Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, what the fuck, Lisa?
What the fuck? My 20 minute no sleep and brain cannot fathom this. So when she's fed with boob in hand then, what, did somebody hold her boob?
So no, it sounds well, she like just held she's, her own she's boob. Probably holding the baby with one hand and holding her own boob with the other hand and like squeezing her milk into the baby's mouth like a cow's udder.
And she just grabbed your tit.
I mean, fine if you want to do that to yourself, but don't be doing it to me.
What a violation. No. No, thank you. I don't really talk about like Chris's side of the family. It's not something I talk about because it's not my business to talk about, but obviously people are aware that we don't see Chris's side of the family, but I could not get my boobie out to her. I don't think I'd even like to get my boob out to my mum.
No, I was just going to say, like, mother-in-law is another level. Mum, I think that would still be weird, but, like, less weird, maybe.
I think I could flash my boob to my sister. Like, I'm not bothered about my sister seeing my boob. Like, that doesn't bother me. But I just don't think my mum would appreciate the tit, you know?
I would not want that. Like, I remember finding that weird when I came home from hospital with Joseph, and I think we've spoken about this on the podcast before. We had my parents and Stefan's parents come and visit, like, the very next day.
Yeah.
And that just felt really uncomfortable because you're still like trying to establish your breastfeeding. So that's pretty much like a full boob out situation. Every
you're literally
you
a first time mum.
And I'm laying there like with my nipples out and Stefan's dad's popping in like, anyone want a cup of tea? I'm like, actually, I'd really rather there was nobody in my house at the moment. Thank you very much.
Stefan's,
but he didn't, to
Stefan's
be fair
dad
to him.
Listened to the podcast.
Didn't grab my tits, so there's that.
You hoped he did. I hoped he would come in. I don't want a tea. I just want you to grab my titty. Oh, while you're in, can you just come in link up my breast.
I could do with an extra pair of hands, actually, if you've got a minute.
While the kettle's boiling, do you want to just come in here and give me an extra hand?
Christ, no. Even in front of my own mum and dad, I'm a bit like, I'm going to go and feed now. Like, can everyone just avert their eyes?
Is that the same with, was that just with Joseph? Or do you feel the same now that you've had Sadie as well?
I think you definitely get more confident. Like, I remember towards the end of breastfeeding Joseph, like, it literally just wasn't even a thing. Like, you can just, like, pop your top up, whack them on. It's not even a problem. And obviously, like, you feed in public and you get more confident. But at the beginning, like, I have had issues at the beginning feeding Sadie as well. So, like, with her, it again is, like, basically a full boob out situation while you're trying to get, like, get that sorted. And, get a good latch. So at the moment, like, I'm not still, like, super comfortable to have people around, like, loads of people around the house when I'm trying to feed. Do you know what I mean?
But
it's you definitely, you get more confident as you go on, for sure.
Love that. God bless you. Okay, well, let's roll into number two.
All right, this says, hi, Safina and Emma. I need some advice on what to do. My friend recently had a baby, 4 months old now, and when she was pregnant, I gave her our nursing chair, baby toys, baby carrier, loads of baby grows, etc. I did say I wanted them back, as I definitely know I'll want to try for another baby in the future. About a week ago, she posted a picture on Instagram with a teddy that was made from one of our baby grows. Which were my boys. My heart shattered. I do see both sides, but I thought she would have asked just in case I did want them back. I messaged her and said I was upset, but she didn't respond very sincerely and said she thought I had kept all the sentimental bits. I did apologise for messaging her about it, but she never replied and we haven't spoken since. I'm worried that this has now caused an awkwardness between us, and I'm also worried what she's done with all the other bits I gave her to use. What should I do now? Should I ask for all the stuff that she isn't using? I do want to clear the air, but I'm also really hurt by this and I feel like I always have to be the bigger person and let things go. Love you and congratulations to you both. Natalie. Oh, yeah. I think you are definitely right to ask for your stuff back, especially if you told her in the first place that you were going to want them back for your future children. What the hell?
I'm literally lost for words.
Gobsmacked.
Yeah, I am. So obviously sentimental bits you have keeping. sentimental bits you have kept. But obviously the baby grows that were passed over. I don't know about those. I think what's hard is that the baby grows that you've handed over, maybe she made the bear because it was sentimental, because they were passed on from you as well. That one's a hard one. I don't know how I feel about the bear. The bears, I don't really know, because I think once you've passed them on, that one's a little bit of a difficult one.
Well, Natalie does.
But I think I would have asked.
She does suggest that she had said to her, I'm going to want all this stuff back in future for my children.
Yeah,
so no. I think if you've said that, then don't go and be making a bear out of my baby grows.
No, yeah, you're right. Sorry, I got so lost in the midst of that. Yeah, no, if you're asking, yeah, so if you've asked for stuff back for you to try again, yeah, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Also, I think you're going to have to message her. I'm so gobsmacked. I'm just gobsmacked. I don't understand how she hasn't been very sincere.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a misunderstanding here. Like, I don't know whether it was, like, intentionally nasty. I think maybe the friend that got all the stuff had just assumed that it was hers to keep.
Of course.
You know, maybe it hadn't been made clear that she was meant to be giving it back.
Yeah. But I'd also waste no time. You need to message her and say, do you know, any chance, you know, I could get the bits back that I loaned you?
Yeah. And also, I think you could say something about,
you don't want it to get any situation. Yeah. Just say you're just a little bit confused with regards to, like, the bear. And obviously you'd made it clear that you were just loaning the bits to her. And just to not have any more of these awkward situations, is there any chance you could just maybe grab the other bits back? Again, it's awkward though, isn't it? And it's always one of those things, is that loaning stuff to people and giving stuff to people, it is very difficult, because as well, people don't ever look after stuff, may not look after things as well as you look after things.
That's the thing, you try and do something nice, you end up shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, so I just think, and this one, you have just been so incredibly nice, and I think people do take advantage of that, which is a little bit sad, but it may just be that she's not understood the situation. So maybe just have an honest, I don't think you need to be the bigger person and just let it go. I don't think you should do that at all. I definitely do think that you should be honest and let her know how you're feeling and just say, look, I'm a little bit sad that you did that. As obviously I did make it clear that we were just lending the bits to you. And maybe going on from that conversation, you can just be like, do you know what? I think it might be best if I grab the other bits back, just because I don't want anything to happen or to have this awkwardness again, you know?
Yeah, I don't want any more of my shit turned into a teddy bear.
No.
Thank you very much.
Bless you. That is a hard one to go through. Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened. I was trying to think if that's ever happened to me, but I don't know that it has.
Well, did you get a lot of stuff from your sister? Because my sister gave me all the stuff from my nephew, Seb, when I had Joseph, because it was like the perfect age gap. Like, they'd finished using all the baby stuff. They gave it to us. But then selfishly, we both got pregnant second time around at the same time. So then having Sadie, I had to give all shit back to my sister and buy it all myself, which was But I did give it back. I didn't turn any of it into teddy bears.
No, and we're still waiting for Sissy to have her baby. So we don't know if we're going to just be giving all Sadie's stuff over to Sissy now, because she's still she hasn't had hers yet. We're still waiting.
Waiting to see. Stay tuned.
Yes, my sister loaned the stuff to me. So I had Dottie, I had Colby, and then obviously we had fell pregnant with the twins, but we lost the twins. So I said to my sister, when we were pregnant with the twins, can I keep hold of the baby bits? Like, she lent me bouncers and baby Bjorn carrier and all of them bits. Obviously, we then lost the twins, but I then held on to the bits because my sister was like, why don't you just keep them at yours? And when you're done with them, let me know. So then I fell pregnant with Dottie, used the same bits for Dot, the same bouncy chairs and stuff like that. Obviously, then we decided that we weren't going to have any more babies. So I offered it all back to my sister. I said, what do you want me to do with? Because she was done having her four. So I was like, what do you want me to do with it? And I think some bits she took back and sold on. And then other bits she just said she didn't want. So she said, you can give them to other people if they would like them. But yeah, I think out of respect, I offered them back to her.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do, because and people spend a lot of money on this stuff as well, don't
they? It's not cheap. And as well, and I thought, even if my sister doesn't want to use them, she can resell them on, because they were hers to resell and make money back off of them.
Exactly.
Yes. So Natalie, I think you just need to
communication,
not suck it up. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely get it off your chest, regardless of how. Regardless if it is a little bit awkward, I think it's best to talk about it and get it off your chest, because I think it will bother you for the rest of your life if you don't talk about it.
Yeah. And you don't want to lose a friend over this. You know, this could be resolved, I think. You just need to let her know how you feel.
I fully agree. Right. Let's get this last secret underway.
Hello, Soph and Emma. I wanted to share a story about my firstborn son from when he was around 18 months old. We had a baby gate at his bedroom door for safety, and he was just playing quietly with his toys while I was getting ready for work. As mums, you know all too well that when it's too quiet, you panic and think, what is he getting into? Yep. Well, the thing that made me realise that same thought was a funny smell that had just wafted into the bathroom while I was getting ready. I jumped up, looked into his room, only to find him standing there, oh God, with his diaper off, finger painting the walls with his poop. The poo was quite literally everywhere. On the walls, smashed into the carpet, or all over him. You name it, poo was on it. And the smell, oof. I was pregnant at the time, so my smell senses were very sensitive and my stomach couldn't handle it. Just as I yelled, oh no, my hubby walked in and asked, what's wrong? I turned around, grabbed my keys and said, go look in the baby's room now. I'm late for work. It's a big cleanup. Love you. Bye. I dodged a bullet there. Love the pod from Melanie.
God bless you, Melanie. I love I literally love the pregnancy jobs that you can go, sorry, I'm pregnant. This is making me too sick. I'm out. I actually miss those. I actually miss the fact that I can't say to Chris, I'm pregnant. I can't do that. Or like when I try and use a cleaning product, and I'm like, oh, no, you'll have to clean the windows because I'm not allowed to use it.
I know. I was literally saying that towards the end of my pregnancy. I was like, I'm really sad about soon not being able to use this as an excuse.
Yeah.
Like taking Joseph to soft play and other parents just basically looking after him. Because I'm like, I can't crawl through soft play. I'm heavily pregnant.
Yeah, but now just keep Sadie under your top so people just apparently think you're just booby feeding the baby.
you can get away with it for a little bit longer when you've got a newborn, but I feel like those excuses are, that time is running out, you know?
Yes. That is disgusting.
Disgusting.
Do you want to know something that's really bad, right? There was this one time I had a play date with a girl that I don't actually talk to anymore, but she may listen. So if you do, hello. I hope everything's well with you. we were having this play date, yeah, and one of her babies took off his nappy. And you know when you can smell poo, but it's not the normal poo that you can smell? And you're like, I smell poo, but that's not my son's poo. I smell poo, but that's someone else's poo. But her child had taken his nappy off and smeared poo in Colby's bedroom. And it was like down the bars of the baby gate. And Colby was just sat there like playing with his cars. And the child was just...
Oh! I think it's bad enough when it's your own child's poo, but when it's someone else's...
I was gagging at the other poo, you know?
Oh, hell no. Did the mum clean it up?
We both cleaned it up. It was just an unfortunate situation that it had happened, you know?
That is my worst nightmare. Like, honestly, when Melanie says poo smushed into the carpet, it sends down my spine.
You had poo in your carpet not so long ago.
Yeah, but it was a solid turd. Do you know, we could just pick it up and dispose of it. It wasn't like smushed in. Like, you're never going to get that carpet the same again.
Never again. But I hope you recovered from that, Melanie, and I hope when you got home it was beautifully clean.
Yeah, I think perfectly dealt with.
Perfectly dealt with, like an absolute champ.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm late for work. Gotta go. Bye.
Yeah, peace out. Okay.
So thank you for sharing your secrets this week. Everybody is welcome in the Secret Mum Club.
And if you want to share your secrets with us, you can. The email is hello@secretmumpod.com or with Secret Mum Pod on TikTok and Instagram.
Have you artistically used poop?
or have you dealt with a boob grabber in the family?
Please do let us know. There really is nothing too outrageous.
And keep an eye out for our Thursday episode.
And we'll see you next time on the
Secret Mum Club.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.